You're listening to the Confidence Podcast, your one-stop shop for motivation, inspiration, and confidence to help you boldly take action on your dreams. I'm your host, Trish Blackwell, internationally recognized confidence coach and founder of the College of Confidence, and I teach women how to take their thoughts captive, how to step out of the shadows of self-doubt, and how to courageously step into their purpose with confidence. It's time to train your thoughts. Let's get started. Hey there, you are listening to the Confidence Podcast, and I'm your host and confidence coach, Trish Blackwell. And I, listen, there are probably about a million podcasts that you could listen to, and you're hanging out here with the Confidence family, and it means the world to me. So I need you to know I don't take the task of being your official encourager lightly. It is why I show up for my business each and every day. So hey, we're talking about a great subject today. One, gosh, I mean, I say this often, but truly it's near and dear to my heart, and that is putting pressure on yourself, because putting on your pressure on yourself doesn't work. In fact, it's a surefire way to wreck your confidence, to spiral into overthinking, and to lose your joy in comparison and jealousy. Putting pressure on yourself is a false prophet that we've convinced ourselves will lead us to the success that we so desperately crave, the acceptance, the place in this world. But here's the thing, maybe our definition of success is a little skewed. Maybe there is a way to live free from the pressure, the guilt, the anxiety, the comparison, the feeling behind, and the feeling inadequate. Look, this podcast will dive into exactly that and more. Hey, as always, you can get the show notes for anything that I talk about here at trishblackwell.com/407. So why, here's the deal, why does this, we think that this worked? Why do we think that putting pressure on ourselves is going to works or is effective? And that's one of the things we'll be diving in and talking about here on today's episode, why we put pressure on ourselves in the first place and why it's not just not working, but I would call it reverse working. And so it's not that it's just, well, I tried it and it doesn't work. It's no, you're doing it, it doesn't work, and it's pushing you in the wrong direction. I want to talk and have a conversation with you about the connection between pressure and guilt. And as you know, guilt's a trigger that sends us into self-sabotage. And self-sabotage is a place that keeps us stuck and stagnant. And then I'm going to give you today, perhaps most importantly, five things you can do today to start shifting the internal conversation in your mind. Our review of the week, I love highlighting our reviews of the week, which to be highlighted, I'd love to give you a shout out on the air. All you have to do is go to iTunes, write a review. It takes less than 90 seconds, because you don't need to. I know that a lot of people have told me, oh, I'm going to write that review, but it's going to be perfect. And if you have been listening long enough, you know that I do not want anything perfect. I want you to show up, right? And so you can just write one sentence and just say, hey, this is so encouraging. Thank you. And why I ask is, one, I am a words of affirmation girl. The best way to love on me is through words. So that's the first thing. If you want to be a friend to me, that's it. Just love on me. Secondly, it truly does encourage me. And it helps the podcast in this crazy secret algorithm that the podcast world has to help more people serendipitously find this show. So you truly are helping your future fellow readers. And today we are honoring Miss E, room 135. And she said, Trish, I'm a teacher and thoroughly enjoy the luxury of having summers off. As much as I look forward to summer break, I always find myself in a weird place as it forces me to process my emotions and face myself. That began as reading my Bible daily and lifting weights consistently. Early on in June, I stumbled upon your podcast. I'm so thankful for it. I binge listened the first couple of weeks, and now I've made the College of Confidence and Tuesday podcast part of my weekly routine. I often say, amen, girl, and I'm feeling so uplifted by your words. Mrs. E, first off, sister, I love you. Secondly, you can now add Thursdays to your weekly encouragement. You've got the College of Confidence. You've got me here on Tuesdays. And you guys, we are now showing up consistently on YouTube. Just go to youtube.com/Trish Blackwell. hit subscribe to my show, and we are releasing new coaching videos and all things confidence on Thursdays. So I'm really pouring some heart into how to show up in ways so you can have some variety, but also have consistent encouragement. And I've got to speak to my teachers. You know, my daughter Ellie, she is 5 and she's starting kindergarten in actually today as it releases, this episode releases. It's her first day of kindergarten, which of course is a virtual kindergarten. And I have such compassion and appreciation for all of the educators who are pivoting and processing and connecting and engaging creatively and, you know, leading our students, our next generations, and gosh, our future with confidence and flexibility, because that's, yeah, this year looks different than we would expect. And so I am so proud of all of you who are out there doing that. And you guys, before we dive into the actual coaching, I would be remiss if I just don't take I need to take a moment of pause and celebration for a dear friend, Brandon Childs, who we heard tragic news of this week. He is a friend of mine for 14 years, my husband for 36 years. I worked with him for 8 years, worked with his wife for 8 years, and just adore this man. And you guys, he was a superhero incarnate. Not only did he, if you follow me on social media, which is on Facebook, I'm Trish Blackwell Coaching. On Insta, I am Trish _ Blackwell. You will see his photo. You'll go, yeah, he should be in movies. He is just built. He's a Superman. I mean, he was a superhero with a super heart, and he died helping someone else. While we grieve, and it is tragic beyond words, the circumstances of what happened, he was helping people until his very last breath. And you guys, I am so compelled to carry, I think that's, and we're all, this season of 2020 is heavy. We are grieving, loss of things that we took for granted, loss of life, loss of respect for one another. There's so many things going on. And I know that if you're not grieving loss of life, many of you are, you're grieving the loss of something else. And as I was reflecting upon this and truly weeping and just being with my friends and supporting and loving on his wife and trying to make sense of something that doesn't make sense. At the end of the day, life is short. And I asked God, what am I supposed to be? How are you grounding me in this grieving? I've lost a lot of friends in the last 6 months, to the point where I've even mentioned someone this week, and they said, you lost another friend? Like, what? How? It's just, and so there are no words other than the message. How can I make sure their lives are honored? How can I make sure I'm learning the lesson that I do not need to continue at life? And this is where we're going to feed into the transition to this coaching. I do not need to live at such a pace that is frantic and busy and chaotic and putting pressure on myself and achievement and accumulation focus, because at the end of the day, in the snap of a finger, my life could be over. Your life could be. And it's, how do I want to be remembered? How do I want to live? I want to predetermine now how I want to be remembered. And that will determine the way in which I live today. You know, I heard a quote by Bill Gates. And it was, busy is the new stupid. And I have drank that. I have been the new stupid. And I'll tell you, losing friends is a really shocking way to be reminded to slow down. Hey, and Brandon Childs, I am thankful for your legacy. I love you, brother. I love your family. And you will never be, ever be forgotten. And I'm inspired to help more. Because what I do for a living, I am a helper. I am a professional encourager. But he makes me want to help more. I want to help until my dying breath. And I don't want to live in busyness and stress and, this, what we're going to be talking about today. So why do we do it? We know that life is short and we shouldn't be stressing ourselves out. And we all know that. This is not new information. But Why is it that we still put so much pressure on ourselves? Well, I think it's multi-layered. One of the reasons is I think that there's something in some of us that we think that if we won't be motivated, if we don't, we sort of think of pressure as like bullying ourselves. Like, well, I'm just going to I have to do this. I'm going to be super disciplined. Or the internal self-talk tells us that we're behind or not enough, inadequate. And we think our feelings that we feel that way means that is true. But I wanted to remind you today that your feelings do not dictate your life. It's the opposite. Your thoughts about your life get to dictate your feelings as you navigate that through. You look at a feeling and you can identify it, and it doesn't determine your next step. When you identify it and you think about what you think about, then you can figure out and trace that feeling back to the original thought. And ultimately, I need you to remember, we have the ability to train our thoughts. We have the ability to think well and think intentionally about how we want to live and how we want to feel. Now, that doesn't mean you don't sit with the feelings. You don't process the feelings and emotions. In fact, we just did a live coaching session, a group call in the College of Confidence just today on how to do hard things, how to do hard emotional things, like process emotion and process feelings. And how do you sit in a feeling and not let it dominate you or dictate you, right? And if you're interested in that coaching, that is, you get immediate access to it if you join and enroll in the College of Confidence, because of course we recorded that for you so you can watch it and get just really get it into your bones, right? I think sometimes we also put pressure on ourselves because we aren't honestly doing the thought work that we need to do. We aren't thinking about what we think about. And you think, well, okay, well, I'm just, wait a second. Oh no, there's that word that Bill Gates warned us against. I'm just too busy. Right? And we convinced ourselves that we're too busy because we believe that busyness makes us important. We believe that busyness will give us purpose. And you guys, it doesn't. It distracts us. It causes us to drift, and it waters down our purpose. And ultimately, we are so busy that we aren't making the time to think and journal and be coached. I have a lot of people who have said, like, I am desperate for life change, and I know that your coaching programs, and I really believe the College of Confidence is the right thing for me, but Trish, I'm too busy. And I don't know if you know this, but for our coaching in the College of Confidence, we recommend 20 minutes twice a week. And working through the various things that we have and the tools and resources. But if you're too busy to think about what you think about, or to think and journal or be coached or be open to it, then you're too busy to change. And it means that there's something backwards, right? And I think sometimes we aren't stretching our belief system to believe that we can change. And what this does, putting pressure on yourself, ultimately puts you in a constant state of dissatisfaction. Now, putting pressure on yourself looks a different for everyone. For me, it was always wanting to lose an extra 3 pounds, always thinking I needed to be just a little bit prettier, always knowing that an A was good, but an A plus was better, looking at my influence in groups of friends and thinking, gosh, like if I was just a little bit cooler, it was like, oh man, I'm happy. But if I was just a little bit this, I would be happier. If I made just a little bit more money, then I would be happier, right? And so let's just go through sort of an assessment here. Because ultimately, how do you know if you are putting too much pressure on yourself? And here are some ways to know. You know if you wake with anxiety. You know if you let your failures or fears keep you from trying. You know if you don't think you're good enough. You know if you feel stressed out all the time. You know if you think, well, if I just was a little bit more in the way I was describing to you. You know if you have unrealistic expectations. You know if you always want more and feel like you should always be doing more. You know that you're putting too much pressure on yourself if you can't relax. And you know that you're putting too much pressure on yourself if you think that your life will be better when you just achieve the next thing. Okay, so let's talk about why pressure doesn't work. You guys, it chokes our confidence. It directs us to chase the wrong definition of success. The success is a fixed set point instead of a growth, flexible, ever-changing adventure. Honestly, success is being faithful to what God has called you to do in life. Success, to me, I'm learning to redefine it, by the way. This is not easy. But success is living with vibrancy, with fullness, showing up, being present, loving, living, learning. And I feel like part of my calling is encouraging, right? And if I do that every day, it's success. And it's going to look different each day, but it's not a fixed set point of achievement. Pressure doesn't work because it subconsciously communicates to us that we aren't naturally motivated. But really what is the danger zone of that is it tells us that we're not trustworthy. It tells us that we don't trust ourselves. And that is something I always, when I would put a lot of pressure on myself about weight loss or being perfect or wanting to look a certain way, I didn't trust myself to relax. I didn't give myself any grace. I didn't extend myself a day off. I didn't let myself not eat a perfect meal because I didn't trust my body to be okay with being okay. Like it was like, I felt like I had to be so disciplined, so regimented, and so much pressure, and then that's why I would be different. That's why I would succeed or excel. And you know what? Putting pressure on yourself in that way really speaks of a deep subconscious voice of pessimism, more of optimism. I don't want to have a pessimistic inner dialogue. I want an optimistic one. And an optimistic one is not one that is pressure-induced. And honestly, the pressure doesn't work because it makes us feel behind of where we should be. But how does it actually reverse work? And what it does is, if you think about a hose, right? We were recently doing some yard work and I learned how to trim the hedges and it was really fun. And we were fixing one of our sprinkler heads and I think we were washing a car. So the hose was out. And if you pinch the hose, the flow stops. So of course, what's my three-year-old's favorite thing to do is to pinch the hose while somebody's using it. So, but pressure pinches the flow of our best life. That's what it does. It tarnishes the real definition of success, our ability to live life well. Because success is not found in achievement or accumulation, not even in status. Success is a state of the soul. I'm going to say that again. Success is not found in achievement or accumulation, nor in status. It is a state of the soul. It is the pursuit of living life with all you've been given faithfully and fully. And so I wanted to explore in this conversation with you a conversation about what's the connection between pressure and guilt. And I firsthand know, and you may have experienced this as well, that guilt drives us to dark places of shame and stuckness. For me, the pressure that I would put on myself, there was an innate sense, an innate message to myself that I had to go all in all the time. Like I had to go in and be perfect all in all the time. Otherwise I would fail or drift off course. And the drifting scared me because I didn't trust myself to be able to course correct. And therefore the more pressure I put on myself, the more dramatic it felt when I didn't do things perfectly. I mean, this was evident when I was competing in collegiate athletics, the more pressure I put on myself, the worse I performed. It chokes the flow of performance, the flow of your ability. And so when I wasn't perfect, this tsunami of guilt and shame would sweep me up and sweep me under into it and chew me up and spin me around. And so now when I find myself, I'm pressuring myself to go beyond where I am at the moment, what helps is this, is to remember that I want to live with margin in my life. I did not pressure. If you live with pressure, there's no margin. And margin is the space between our load and our limit. It's a space where real life happens. The important things in life, they happen slow. But when you're pressuring yourself, you don't have time for slow. So ultimately, you feel a cheapened experience of life because you're not getting to have that deep sense of satisfaction in that which is important. So now when I find myself desiring distress, desiring hustle, all right, call it pressure, call it hustle, call it hurry, call it productivity, right? Hey, they're all cousins. But delight, I want to live a life of delight. I believe God doesn't just love us. I believe he delights in us. I love my children, but I also delight in them. That's that next level where I just enjoy watching them play. And they, like, you struggle to put words to that joy. And delight and distraction contradict one another. I do not believe you can have distraction and delight in the same place. And I can tell you a life of hurry, a life of consumption over productivity, a life of chasing success, a life of pressuring yourself to be better with the wrong motivation is a life filled with distraction. And so you can't have that experience of delight. And sometimes to take the pressure off, I simply need to change my pace. I need to change the rhythm I'm going. I need to, I mean, it's funny, even when I'm out on my runs, if I, for some reason, am running unexpectedly quicker pace than I would normally, you could go both ways. You could go, oh, okay, well, good for you. Push it a little bit more and let's see how we go. And that's normal. That's good. Well, where Trisha's brain comes in as she pushes it and she still has 4 miles left. And then she's like, oh no. Like, and then my heart rate goes to 180. And then I'm like, well, you have to hold it now because you've been holding this. And if you're really tough, you'll, or you could just slow down, Trish. Like, that's where, so there's, it's not that you don't push yourself, but when you all of a sudden your identity or your worth is tied to whether or not you can do something, that becomes the problem. And so when it often has to do with how quickly I can do things, right? Or how much I can do. And a phrase that I recently heard was this, and it was really helpful for me. What's the rush? I'm not in a hurry. Like asking yourself, that's a self-coaching conversation. Trish, what's the rush? After all, you're not in a hurry. And so another thing, another phrase is a prayer that I will say where I say, God, I trust you with my pace and my place. So here are 5 things you can do today to start shifting the internal conversations in your mind. Number 1, get a grip on what is realistic and what isn't. We get into this place of pressure and hurry and feeling behind and inadequacy because we often are chasing unrealistic expectations, unrealistic visualizations. And I am all about dreaming big, visualizing big, going beyond what you can believe. But this is a different, this is day to day. You believe me, there's a difference. And I work with people on understanding the difference. I do that in my private coaching practice. But figure out what's realistic and what isn't. Number 2, y'all, we need to stop listening to others. You need to listen to God and go where he's directing you. Everyone's going to have a different opinion about what you're doing. Stop listening to others and being distracted and going one way and then changing your mind and going another, and just stay the course and be faithful to where you're supposed to be. And when we stop listening to others, when their voice doesn't matter as much, we are able to turn down that dialogue of self-doubt that comes with it, that what will they think of me that comes with it. And by the way, if you haven't yet taken my free webinar on how to stop caring what people think, I would highly, highly recommend it. It's one of my favorite classes to teach. You can save yourself a spot at trishblackwell.com/stop-caring. And then number 3, be present and slow down. You guys, life is to be lived, not sped through. I really am being challenged to go to a new pace of life. And if you're looking for some great reads on this, Jeff Bethkel, his book, To Hell with a Hurry, is phenomenal. Excuse me, it's Bethke, not Bethkel. I don't know what I'm thinking. Amazing. Then John Mark Comer's book, The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry, is incredible. Highly, highly recommended. And it just really, if you want to do life well, you need to slow down. And and slowing down and putting pressure on yourself, they are very hard to coexist in. I want to tell you that when you're like, but if I slow down, I'm going to be behind. Not on the things that matter, right? We need to take a look at what matters in life and what doesn't. Number 4, I want you to think like an optimist, not a pessimist. Most people, you may not realize, are actually afraid to live this way. Well, I don't want to be optimistic because then what if I'm disappointed? You guys, disappointment is part of life. We are going to be disappointed. We cannot avoid disappointment. And I actually have a whole podcast episode on how to deal with disappointment, and you can get it. It's a throwback. Get ready. It's episode 211, which you can access by clicking the link that I'll have in the show notes, trishblackwell.com/407, or you can just go directly to trishblackwell.com/211, or scroll for 200 episodes in your podcast app of choice. But episode 211 is called 4 Positive Ways to Deal with Disappointment. And so when you realize you don't have to be afraid of being disappointed, you can be open to say, I'm willing to think optimistically, to think powerfully, to think positively, that it's not wrong for me to expect the best. And but also to be prepared that to pivot when what my expectation doesn't happen. But I'm not going to go in dreading and assuming that it's not going to go well. Most people don't ever go all in their thoughts, their beliefs, their actions, or their follow through simply because subconsciously they're being pessimistic in order to protect themselves. And all you're doing is protecting yourself from the real success, the real joy, the real satisfaction that you're intended to experience. Okay, and finally, number five, I want you to accept that you're a work in progress. This is about progression, not perfection. And life is that. Now, there's no point in life I think you're ever going to be, I want to go for contentment. I want deep satisfaction and contentment, but I'll always continue to grow. And growing is exciting. And I want to lean into that life is an adventure with God in control. And I know that He's still working on me. He's still working on my thoughts. He's still working on my heart. He's still weeding out things in my life. He's still guiding me. I still have so much to learn about podcasting. I have so much to learn as a coach. I have so much to learn as a wife, as a parent, as a friend, as a daughter, I have so much to learn. And that's exciting. I'm not behind. I'm not beating myself up over that. I'm leaning in. I'm pursuing wisdom. I'm seeking that out. And that is exciting. Okay, guys, and as we close out, I just have a couple quick announcements before we go to our listener of the episode, and I'm going to tell you, you're going to want to hear her story, and it really does relate to today's topic. But quick announcement, I have one, that's right, I have one open coaching spot. We had a waiting list, we got those people in, and if you want to work with me one-on-one, I have one spot. So if you're ready to change, take the way you think seriously, then I would love to help you think with more confidence, courage, and clarity. Email me, trish@trishblackwell.com, if you're ready to invest in really creating change in your life. And of course, I need you to know that our College of Confidence has a new just released course. It's called Turning Your Trials into Triumphs. And if you're looking for a budget-friendly life coaching and a contagiously encouraging community, then look no further than the College of Confidence. Enroll today at collegeofconfidence.com and you'll get instant access to our new course where you're going to learn step-by-step how to create a comeback in your life. Of course, you don't get just access to that course. We have over 40 courses. We have live group coaching calls. We have a community. You can ask me a question 24/7, all for the cost of about a cup of coffee a day. So go to collegeofconfidence.com to check that out. Our listener of the episode is Stacey Bain, and she says this. She says, "Hey, Trish, I apologize in advance for the long email, but I just had to share this with you. Every time I listen to you, I think we should be friends. By the way, girl, we are. Okay, virtual friends, but friends still nonetheless. You speak to my heart, girl. Your talks are so bang on. Well, this morning I was listening to episode 301, I just knew I was going to listen to something else, but I knew to listen to yours. Well, I put on 301 and well, no wonder you were speaking to me. I mean, come on, all your podcasts speak to me, but this one, it was the one. The way you shared your story, I could even feel the angst that you didn't feel comfortable sharing, but that you were going to do it anyways. Trish, I applaud you. That takes guts, and I want you to know that it was worth it. For me, your story, your examples really resonated. The fear of what others will think, right from your formative years, the people-pleasing desire because of the fear pit in your stomach that someone might not like you, they might talk about you or think negative things. I totally, totally get that. I've struggled with that for years. I grew up in an atheist household, but with going to a Catholic school, don't ask. Raised by a perfectionist mother who believes 99% was not good enough, 100% was the only option. There was no room in our lives for love, she was cold, for the squishy stuff and hugs and kind words, etc. You best believe everyone thinks we're perfect or else. So I chased perfection in every way. Sports, school, looks, fashion, I nailed it. But when I didn't, catastrophe. I also chased love and affection in all the wrong places from a very young age. I was also sexually assaulted and did and still deal with triggers from PTSD. I went through a failed marriage in my 20s to an abusive alcoholic. I didn't believe in God. In fact, I made fun of people who did. I was the most non-believer I knew. I was broken, damaged, and neglected. Then I met my husband 8 years ago. Boy, did things change. His mom was on her deathbed from brain cancer, and she told me about Jesus. She rocked my world. So did God. Who knew what I was chasing all along was God? And he was right there, and I didn't see him. Now I have the most incredible family in life. I'm so incredibly blessed. I wish I could tell you that the heavens opened up when I was saved and it was an easy walk, but nope. In fact, life got harder on the inside, real hard. I struggle constantly with, am I enough? Am I a good mom, good wife, good boss, good friend? I started believing I am and two steps forward and four steps back. Well, guess what? At that point, I started listening to your podcast. Now, every day I'm reminded that I'm human. I make mistakes, but I am enough. I might know it. I might be able to tell myself without your podcast, but I'm telling you, I've tried for years and can't seem to remember being easy on myself. Now I hear you telling me every day, and it's working. I mean, big picture working. I mean, my family is better. My perspective is better. My attitude is better. I can't thank you enough. God has put on my heart for a while now to share my story the same way you've shared yours. I've always been afraid of what people would think. Now I'm starting considering it as an actionable item. Let's say I'm warm to the idea. That for me is a big step. And she says, before I go, I want to make a request. I know a lot of programming is geared to entrepreneurs, but I'm in a senior management position and I'm young for my role compared to my peers. The old me, the voices in my head say I'm not qualified. I tell myself that I'm okay with people not agreeing with my direction, but sometimes it bugs me. The old me wanting everyone else's approval comes out and I start to feel threatened, like I have to prove myself. I hate that feeling. So how do I be my own boss in the corporate world? How do I get rid of the feeling that I'm 10 years old, uninformed, and not qualified for my job? Once again, Trish, I love you. You rock, and I thank you from the bottom of my heart. Keep being authentic. Keep shining your line straight. You're making a difference in this world. Okay, so Stacey, what an amazing, first off, your story is extraordinary. And some of the best advice I was ever given when I was worried about sharing my story, somebody said, this is not your story to share. It's God's story. He gave it to you. It's your obligation to share it. And it has given me a lot of courage in sharing and opening my heart with all of you guys here on the podcast and on YouTube. And, but to answer your question, how do you get rid of the feeling that you're too young. And you know what? God put you in that position. He made a way. You belong there and you are a leader. And just the self-talk and the self-coaching I want you to do in your own thoughts to say, I belong here. I'm going to lead with love and respect and openness. I'm going to be receptive to feedback, but I'm going to trust where I know I should guide. So some of that is just the decision to be emotionally brave every day, to have a thick skin but soft heart, and to work on this. You don't have to prove yourself. I hope that today's episode actually, I feel like the putting pressure on yourself, another way to say put pressure on yourself is this innate desire that we want to prove ourselves to everyone else that we made it, we're worth it, we belong. We don't need to prove. You have nothing to prove and nothing to lose. Your job is to show up, to lead well and love well. End your day with that, and then you'll know you have done well. Hey, and if you guys want to check out the episode that Stacey mentioned, it's 33 practical ways to stop worrying about what people think of you. Again, that's 33 practical ways to stop worrying what people think about you. You can go to trishblackwell.com/301. Guys, that's it for today's show. Make sure you hit subscribe, share the show with a friend. Hey, and I'd love to see you on Instagram. Come hang out with me. It's Trish_Blackwell. Or if you're more of a Facebook person, I like Facebook too. It's Trish Blackwell Coaching on Facebook. Guys, that's it. I love you. You're loved. You belong. And you matter. Now go out there today. Go be more of who you are. Be you. Be free. If you've enjoyed today's episode of the Confidence Podcast, we invite you to check out collegeofconfidence.com. The College of Confidence is the essential resource for anyone at any stage of personal confidence growth. If you're still figuring out how to silence self-doubt or like the reflection you see in the mirror, this is the place for you. Or if you're already pretty self-assured and are just looking for ways to chase your dreams with more courage and more gusto, then the College of Confidence can help you get to that next level. With our extensive course library, monthly trainings, live coaching calls, and exclusive Ask Anything forum, you get the most affordable and accessible coaching support available online anywhere. The College of Confidence is a supportive, active community to help you along the way with feedback, encouragement, and advice. Memberships are available specializing in self-confidence, social confidence, and professional confidence, and start at the affordable price of just $20. It is the place for anyone looking to be free from the bondage of self-doubt or self-sabotage. It is the place where we coach you to step confidently into the calling God created you to live out. Check it out and join us today at collegeofconfidence.com.